time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 23rd of October 2010. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by Island, the stockist of Waiheke's most eclectic collection of local gifts, art and clothing. On Saturday, the 23rd of October 2010, Jan Scott talked to the incoming local board chairperson, Faye Storer. She also talked to Rosalie Hennigan from Waiheke Library and outgoing community board member and star of the stage, Eileen Evans.
This morning we've got a special guest to kick off with, Faye Storer. She needs absolutely no introduction. Good morning, Faye.
Good morning, Jan.
Now, we were talking on the ferry the other day, Faye, when you were on your way back from the inaugural, initiation or whatever they have there.
First briefing sounds
That's
good.
That's the one that sounds really good. And I asked you, had you noticed any difference between the last time you were in City Hall and this time round?
And my response was yes, a big difference. Yes, Jan, there has certainly been a change in attitude with the new Auckland Council. I think it's fair to say that the old Auckland City Council had been branded with an arrogant label for some time. Whether or not that was earned, who knows? It's history now. But I have to say that going into the briefings for new local board members and also councillors on Monday and Tuesday, there was a noticeable difference, particularly, I have to say, from management.
That's great. And that was in a positive fashion?
Very, very positive. The new interim chief executive, Doug Mackay, I have to say, comes across extremely well. He's very professional. But while he's professional, he also has a very big human side to him. He likes people, he cares about people, and it comes through. And it in no way detracts from his professionality.
So this means we can look forward to a much more positive relationship between our board and the City Council.
I believe it does, and I campaigned saying that we needed to go to the new council with a lot of goodwill. I know that we're going with goodwill, and I'm positive that they have much goodwill towards us.
That's great to hear. Now, I understand that one of the first tasks for the new board that they were asked to do was to decide who the chair and vice chair and the portfolio roles were going to be before the mayor comes over to make the formal installation on the 6th of November. Can you talk us through the process and how that is done or is being done?
Yes, this was a very interesting approach by the new mayor and new chief executive, and I actually questioned staff of it at the time, but I brought with me the memo from Anna Bray, our new relationships manager, to say what we were required to do. Now, what's happened with this is the mayor clearly wants no surprises, and the chief executive wants no surprises. I think they want this to be obviously, a good regional council. It's about economics and politics and people, and they want things to go well from the start. So they had requested of staff that they meet with the different boards, and we were encouraged on the Tuesday, in fact, in town to, I quote, to discuss the appointment of its chair at this time, meaning right then and there. Now, the Waiheke local board members, all five of us, had already agreed to meet on Thursday down here after the Wednesday meeting with the current board to discuss the legacy document. So we declined to discuss it at the time. But I do know that at least one of the boards spent Monday night shut in a room for half an hour up in the council buildings while they discussed this. It is a peculiar approach, but it's been a request, a clear request, and we have to honour that.
When you say one board member, do you mean one of our board members or one of the councillors
no,
in town?
No, I see one board, another local board from around town. Yeah. I know, shut themselves in a room on the Monday night in town. That's the way they chose to do it. But yes.
So has our board done it? And how did they do it?
Yes, we had scheduled a meeting on 2 o'clock on Thursday to discuss issues, and we discussed it there.
So were the decisions made as to who was doing what at that meeting?
Yes. The decision obviously has to be for the chair and deputy chair has to be made at the first swearing-in meeting, no doubt about that. So there's a big difference between election and selection or choice. But no, we have made a clear choice for, a majority choice for chair and deputy chair, which will go forward now to that swearing-in meeting.
And what about the portfolios? Is that the same process?
Well, the portfolios will be confirmed at the meeting of December 7th, which is the first normal business meeting. We are being encouraged, I'd say strongly encouraged, to be up and running. And in fact, despite the fact that the current board is elected until the 1st of November, the Mayor and Chief Executive and Management would like us to get moving. And we've taken that to heart. People are looking to us to talk about things. And at the gallery last night, Don and I were, Don McKenzie, one of the new board members, and myself, had a big discussion with a couple of people about the need for funding for arts, more funding for the gallery. That's the kind of thing people expect you to be up and running with. So we do need to have clear portfolios of spokespersons' roles before that time.
Right. I'm not sure whether you're aware of the emails that are buzzing around at the moment, and certainly my email's been running hot, as has my telephone and as has the telephone here, about the process of appointing the or nominating the chair, deputy chair and the roles, and that the accusation is that there was one person who has been elected to the board who was left out of that process.
No, I'm not aware of any emails or phone calls. At all. I don't want to talk about personalities or people. I don't know the circumstances at all, but I've just outlined you what happened, why it has happened like that. And I stress that this is a choice. It is a selection, and that is not an election, but it has been done and discussed before the swearing-in meeting and before December 7th because we have been requested to do so.
Right. I've got a sheet here that was faxed through to me with the various portfolio allocations and the suggestion for chair and deputy chair. And I was told that this piece of paper was tabled at the meeting you had on Thursday. So it indicates that a meeting was held prior to that to decide what this is going to be, and then it was tabled at the meeting on Thursday.
No, there's no meeting. That's my research there. I took the legacy document that the current board gave to us on the Wednesday. I went home and did a bit of research myself. I do have an accumulation of agendas from quite a few years. Went back, looked to see what pertinent portfolios or spokespersons' roles there might be, and I drew that up.
So this is not the definitive article or what might necessarily end up being the allocation of portfolios?
It might not be. We discussed that at length, all five elected members discussed that at length on Thursday. I went through them and discussed them, who wanted what. Some people chose to take some things, some people others. They're based on my perception of people's campaign, what they put forward as being their strengths and abilities and interests, and I have to say that the vast majority of them seem to be acceptable, and they would need to be confirmed at the meeting on the 7th.
So who or how is the process done to nominate yourself as chair and Joe Holmes as deputy chair?
Well, as I say, that goes back to the request we've had to discuss this, and that is simply a matter of whether or not you have the numbers. Each individual person on the board, there are five people, all with an opinion, all entitled to have an opinion, and that's up to them to say who would they support. And it was quite clear that there were four people in favour of myself for chair, there were four people in favour of Joe Holmes for deputy chair.
Right, so this has got to go before the first formal meeting of the group for ratification, is that right?
At the swearing-in meeting, the process is that one of the staff or the chief executive officer will call for nominations and then they will be voted on. And that is the formal process. And as I say, this council, the mayor and chief executive officer, have made this request, and all local boards across the region are participating in it at the moment. And I think it's fair to say that there would always be discussions before a swearing-in meeting. No one goes into a swearing-in meeting completely cold, wondering whether or not they've got support for the chair. That would be unrealistic.
Right. So this whole scenario could change at the first meeting, theoretically.
Well, theoretically it could. It needs confirming by resolution.
Right. I think what some people are expressing concern about and a little surprise about is that the highest polling candidate is neither chair nor deputy chair and seems to have, at the moment, have got the bones of the portfolios. That seems to be a bit of a concern out there.
Well, I think you have to realise that there are five people elected to the board. No person is higher or lower than any other. There are simply five positions and five people elected. And between those five people, all of whom I say have an opinion, one expects that they will choose the best person for each job.
Right. One of the things before the election, of course, was people were very keen to get a board that would work together. Do you think that's going to happen in reality?
I don't see why not. Every board learns to work together simply because you have to.
Right. But, you know, Waiheke is the sort of political place that is, and we've got some pretty strong personalities out there. And I did hear quite a few people during the campaign were a little... They wanted to have both yourself and Denise on board because you've both been our reps on the Auckland City Council and your experience is valuable. But there was concern expressed as to whether or not the two of you would be able to work together. Hopefully that would be the case on your behalf.
I'm quite sure that will be the case.
Great. So when is the first meeting of the board?
Well, the swearing-in ceremony is largely ceremonial. As you know, Mayor Len Brown and, well, Mayor-elect Len Brown and the Interim Chief Executive, Doug Mackay, will be coming to that. They're chartering a plane going to Great Barrier and then to Waiheke. And that is largely ceremonial. And then we'll have the vote for chair and deputy chair and then basically a cup of tea and biscuits afterwards. So purely ceremonial. Well, no, not purely ceremonial, largely ceremonial. The first business meeting is on the 7th of December. Now, the new structure for meetings for the local boards are that we will have one formal business meeting a month and we will have one workshop a month. And we have been requested to help draw up a timetable for that. And I think we need to understand that this is fairly and squarely in the hands of the Mayor and the administration at the moment. We are doing what we are requested to do.
Yeah, I understand that they have asked, they wanted, well, reading the local newspaper this morning, the Chief Executive in Auckland was saying they want to be hitting the deck and running.
Well, that's the point, and that's exactly why we're doing this. They want to hit the deck and running. In fact, they're asking us to run before we've even basically been sworn in, and, you know, that's some technical problems. But we are certainly all rearing to go.
So I guess that you know, that approach could perhaps be seen as bulldozing the local board into making decisions that may not necessarily be the right ones.
I don't see that they're not the right ones. The board are a group of mature adults. If anyone has concerned about that process, they really need to take it up with the Mayor and Chief Executive Officer, because I can assure you that the local board is doing what is expected of it.
Well, yes, it would be unfortunate if the new council got the wrong impression of Waiheke. From what I've seen with the emails that are going around, there's quite a groundswell of protest gathering that may show itself on the day when the Mayor is here. Yeah. And that would be an unfortunate outcome, wouldn't it?
It would.
Carry on. Sorry. That's okay. Just somebody trying to phone in, and we're in the middle of an interview. Okay. I think that Denise is in the. Sorry.
I'm not here to answer questions.
No, that's okay. We're not taking questions on air at the moment, unfortunately, but I'm sure if you want to contact Faye, she is contactable, and I know you've got a meeting to you've got commitments to head off to, Faye. You're
yes,
only here
I
for
do.
A short
My numbers
period of
in
time.
The book. People are perfectly entitled to approach me if they wish to.
Thank you, Faye.
Thank you,
and
Jan.
Good luck for the future.
Thank you.
Now, It's my pleasure to say hi to Rosalie from the library. Hi, Rosalie.
Hi, Jan, and good morning to wonderful Waiheke.
Isn't it?
Just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Oh, we do deserve this.
You're so right. Bit of a shock to the system, really.
I know. People have been getting out in their gardens and talking about what they're going to do and planting the famous potatoes for Christmas dinner. I've actually already got some. I put some Maori potatoes in. I've wanted them for ages. And I saw them at the local store, and so they've gone in.
Brilliant.
And they're growing brilliantly, but I've got a few others that have sprouted under my kitchen sink, and unofficially, of course, I just haven't eaten them in time. And so they'll be going out into the garden, and if they come up, they come up.
Well, I mean, it's not really a weekend to sit inside reading a book, is it?
No,
but
although
then maybe
I have to say, Jan, sorry to interrupt you, that there is one book that I think everybody in New Zealand should read. We've all know and love Joy Cowley from little, well, from 3 and 4 year olds right up, because she writes for the preschoolers, she writes for the children at school, and now she's written a story about herself. It's called Navigation, a Memoir by Joy Cowley, and it is one of the finest New Zealand books ever written.
Wow, that's great praise.
It is, it is. And I mean, I am so sincere, because she tells about her childhood, and she's about my age group, and she writes about her childhood in Foxton, of all places. The parents moved there, and possibly housing was cheap. They were very, very poor. The father was semi-invalid, so Joy, being the eldest girl and quite strong and capable, was able to help him to cut the firewood and do a lot of the boys' jobs, you know, mow the lawns, because her father would get too wheezy and gaspy to do it. Her mother was a semi-invalid, had an illness, and Joy is such a lovely person. She says very little except good. And she writes about this childhood in Foxton and the big debt that she's got to schooling, because when she was at high school, she decided that the classes she wanted to take were available more at Palmerston North Girls High. And being a clever young lass, she found out that she could get a free bus to Palmerston North and go to a good school. And, of course, Palmerston North Girls High, and speaking as a Manawatuite, that is the academic number one for girls in the area. And the teachers were so good to her. But years later, she went back, and one of the pupils who had been there and had become a teacher herself said to her, "We always wondered what you did wrong, because you had detention every day at lunchtime for a year." And, of course, she didn't get detention. It was Joy struggling to catch up with these children and learn Latin and learn some of the other classes. And then she found that she would write a little story off to the Manawatu Evening Standard. And I probably read it as a child, because I did read all the children's pages and sort of wondered who was writing it. And here's Joy Cowley sort of helping out. And eventually she became more or less in charge of that section. And she tells this hilarious story about one of the girls from her school coming in to see the children's editor, and she had to say, "Oh, she's got the flu." And the terrible thing was, of course, she then had to write that she was writing from her sick bed, with dosed up with lemons and honey, and making this very amusing story out of her flu, because she didn't want to admit that she was the person who was doing the writing. And then the tragedy came when her father said, "Look, we need you to earn money." And so the teacher actually drove her down to Foxton to see the parents and say, "Look, she really is good. Let her stay on at school a bit longer." And they said, "Well, you know, it's taking too much of her time." And so they arranged board for her and this little job at the Manawatu Evening Standard. And shortly after that, her father said, "No, we need you. I've got a job for you in the pharmacy with Mr. So-and-so at the local store." So that was her first job. And she rejoiced in that, although she was very sorry to leave school, and her teachers would have been very sorry too. And so she started as a pharmacy assistant, and she finally learnt about makeup and things from the girls at the pharmacy, but she was actually doing more the chemist side of things. And the other job that she and her sister had during the holidays was to act as chicken stringers. And I think, oh, dear God, this poor girl, you know, she's only a child. I mean, I can't imagine our 13 and 14-year-olds. Well, they probably wouldn't be allowed, you know, but she had a really, really tough childhood. But she speaks with such joy about it. She's very well named, Joy Carley. And then she decided that she wanted a motorbike because the group that she'd been going with at school took her back, of course, and a couple of the boys had motorbikes, so Joy was allowed to ride theirs, unofficially, of course, along the beach. And she decided she'd want one, so her parents knew she was saving desperately, but of course most, I suspect, of her money went to help the family. But over the years, she found herself buying the odd book, of course, because she couldn't give that up. And so finally her father bought her this absolutely clapped out, terrible low CC motorbike, and she was totally humiliated. But her beloved father helped her to fix it up. And he didn't know that she loathed that motorbike because it wasn't powerful enough. Later on, when she earned more, she began learning to fly. So she had a very adventurous... She was a very adventurous person for that time. And then she fell pregnant. She got married. She had four children. They lived on a dairy farm just outside Palmerston North. And then that life stopped. And typical of Joy, she doesn't say very much about what happened to the marriage. And she began writing more of the stories because she saw that children were not... There were some of them that were like her little girls, learnt to read, boom, no trouble. But her boy was very slow at reading, so she'd write stories for him. And the teacher was saying, well, look, you know, these Janet and John books are not doing a lot for the children. We need books that explain their own situations and that our children can do. So Joy started writing them for her son. And then from there, she sent them to publishers. And after a long time, she met Wendy Pye and, of course, has written hundreds for Wendy Pye. So this is really a tribute to Joy Carley, my own tribute to Joy Carley, because she has helped so many of our Kiwi kids to learn to read, and they've absolutely delighted. And reading through her memoir, Navigation, she explains how she'd go into a classroom and read to the children, and she'd take on board what the children said and the way they reacted, and then she'd adjust the story. So there's the famous Mrs. Wishy Washy, and she talks how she was actually lying in the bath at the Fish Bay property, which she bought many years later. And it's in the Marlborough Sounds, and absolutely stunningly beautiful. And she was lying in the bath after she'd been out and come back cold, and she put the bath on, and she thought, oh, this is lovely being Mrs. Wishy Washy. And she thought, oh, what a great name for a character, and sort of leapt out. And of course, from that comes one of my favourites is Eating Plums in Bed. And of course, there's the Frog Hopper series, the comedy, The Greedy Cat. Now, again, most children in New Zealand and their mums would know the Greedy Cat series. I like The Greedy Cat and The Birthday Cake because that's how it started off. But Joy's own story is just wonderful. And she tells about the Silent One, how that originated was from a trip to Fiji. And she saw a turtle in the market and she thought, oh, that poor turtle, it's still alive and somebody's going to cut it up and make turtle soup. It belongs in the sea. But she had no money with her, so she had to get a taxi to go back to the motel to get money to get her husband. And when they got back, the turtle had been bought. And so she was quite upset. Now, from that little thought came the wonderful turtle story about the Silent One. So there's so much in this book which tells you, and everyone who's read her stories will absolutely delight in her success. Of course, she has written other ones. I loved her novel, The Holy Days, but it's her own story which I think is going to, I hope, will be a prize winner for the
And what is the title of it again?
Navigation, a Memoir, because she was asked by her publishers, would she write an autobiography? And I think because there would have been people she could hurt, she decided to make a memoir, and that way she could just put in little bits and pieces. And her heart, it's just, it shows how much tenderness and passion and joy she has in living, and joy in her family and the children. And of course, now her worldwide success, she's been asked to go to reading seminars over in the States and internationally. She's been up to the Eskimo Inuit people and talked to them, and indeed been gifted with a wonderful description of their so-called ice cream, and in parentheses, because it's sort of made out of whale fat with blueberries.
Oh, yes.
And well, typically, Joy managed to eat it. Later on, it had a disastrous effect on her. But I thought, nobody else, they'd never known any other white person eat it, but she wouldn't offend them. She ate it. And I thought, what a remarkable person. So that's my tribute today, Joy Cowley. The book's just come into the library and gone straight out in the hold, so you will have to order it. But if you can't wait, then this is one book that I'm going to say go out and buy it.
Right. Now, the other thing is, Rosalie, that with the new city structure, once that comes in, people over here on holiday and whatever will be able to come into the library and borrow books, won't they?
It'll be wonderful. I should have talked about that, but I was just so blown away by the Joy Cowley book. Yes, there's wonderful, wonderful changes happening on November the 1st. Chiefly, the big one that's going to affect a lot of our current people is the request fee is just zapped. It's gone. So no longer will you know that the book you want's in Mount Roskill and you have to pay a dollar to get it. Now you just say, I want to order such and such a book, and it's at Mount Roskill, or you don't even have to know where it is. We'll find it. It might be, in fact, at Manukau. And, of course, we have some of our patrons who have been following series and vice versa, and we might hold 17 copies of, you know, but we might be missing volume 16, and that one might be at Manukau or Rodney or something. So there'll be some of our people requesting books in from all over, from Warkworth to almost Hamilton. It's going to be absolutely brilliant for libraries, the new service. We are so looking forward to it. There's so many good things. DVDs have gone down to $2. CDs are still the same, but you'll be able to order them for free. There's so many, many things. We've got a whole leaflet on it, so when you come to the library, make sure you pick it up.
Absolutely. Now, we've got a lot of people over on holiday this weekend, and no doubt a lot of them have come over to tidy up the batch and get it ready for the summer. So when you come back for Christmas, don't worry about loading the car up with books. You can come into the Waiheke Library and
that will be delightful.
Borrow them from there.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that sounds great. Now, is there anything else you've been reading that you want to tell us about?
Oh, well, I was just going to make it. This morning I was sitting up in bed. I was hoping to finish Andrea Levy's book, Long Song. My goodness, what a talent that woman has for getting inside people's head. It's actually set in Jamaica, a plantation woman, a slave. And it's her life, and she's trying to tell it to her son, who's a very busy printer, and he's always brushing off. And finally, she thinks, he takes notice of words. I will write my song. And so she starts off. And then, of course, the son immediately becomes interested. And how he became a printer, I thought, goodness me, that's a respected job. So that's a whole story in itself. And, of course, she wasn't going to tell that part, but she, you know, because that didn't make her look so good. But the son waggled his finger at her and said, Mama, Mother, I think it was, yes, you must be truthful. And so it's absolutely a wonderful story, Andrea Levy's Long Song.
Right. Now, do you still have a long waiting list for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
It has come down, but there's still a waiting list. So there's some people that sort of said, oh, well, I'll wait till it gets down a bit more, you know. But certainly people are getting it more quickly now.
Oh, that's good. And are you finding that people are taking the DVD out in such numbers or not?
Well, some people now are thinking, oh, it's only going to be $2 in a couple of weeks, so they might just be waiting, you know.
What sort of DVDs are the most popular?
Well, we have a lot of New Zealand DVDs, you know, sort of what films made in New Zealand. And we also have a lot of things like how to do China painting and yoga and Pilates that seem to be eternally popular. But we do have a certain range of drama and comedy and ones like that. For example, yesterday I felt tempted, only I knew that I had to get out in the garden and I mustn't spend time. Somebody bought in a Cadfael series. Now, that had been on TV some time ago, and there were about three, and I thought, oh, goodness, 6 hours of Cadfael. I mean, Derek Jacobi was the Cadfael for the people who remember it, and I thought, oh, I must get that series for myself sometime when it's raining.
Yes, exactly.
But and not immediately.
I guess that the DVDs that you have in the library wouldn't mirror what you can get down the road at Video Easy.
No, it is different, but there are some good ones here, and of course there are some excellent modern ones down there too.
But you'd have more of a, I suppose, sort of the... more specialised type of
I would
thing,
think
art,
so, yes. I would. Well, you do have quite a few, and you can order them too, of course. Well, our selection here is very limited because of our size. Bring on the new library.
Well, that mightn't be too far away either. And, of course, the other thing is if you don't feel like reading on a beautiful day like this, you can still come to the library and take out a book on gardening or DIY or to tidy up the place. Or
yes, square foot gardening is very popular. That came back in a couple of days ago.
What is square foot gardening?
That's where you have a small area to actually garden in, but you prepare the soil and you can get enormous crops out of it.
Is it you prepare it, is it a bit like the lasagna idea?
I believe pea straw and mulch and newspapers down and so on.
In a wooden frame, I suppose.
I haven't actually read it, but I think that's what it's called. Yes.
Yeah, well, that'd be ideal. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can borrow books on from the library. They're not just necessarily to put your feet up and read.
Yes, we have quite a few who are interested in digital photography, and there's some quite good selections. And some of the books that are made up of photographs are just wonderful to see. And I think I mentioned Margaret Mee's Adventures in the Amazon and the exquisite botanical illustrations. I finished reading that last week. It took me a long time because she made a lot of voyages in the Amazon. It was very worthwhile.
Right. And just briefly, because you're probably in a hurry to get back to work. What is the process for getting new books into the library? Do you have much of an input into what we get over here?
Well, we don't really. Officially, it all comes from Central, where they can buy it. But in reality, anyone can go in and make a suggestion for purchase. And that has been very, very popular because somebody might hear of a book and think, oh, the library doesn't have it. And, okay, it might not be here yet, but it might be coming, and we can tell them that it's ordered. Or they can put in a suggestion for purchase, which is on the website, and just write down the details they have. They might only have the title, but they can say, oh, it's about such and such. And it's new or something, you know, sort of. So that will give our colleagues something to go on. But some people know exactly what the title, what the publisher, what the author is, the date of publication, but we haven't got it, so they can fill that in. And we find when patrons request things here from Waiheke that we have a very, very good strike rate. So long as the book is still in print, we usually get it. It's amazing. And, of course, as librarians, we can recommend that they replace certain ones. Some of the favourite children's books get very knocked about, so we put in, okay, this we're going to delete, but we want to get another copy of it because the children still love it.
And do you find that there's a trend on Waiheke of the sort of books that Waihekeans prefer or not?
Not really. They're quite an erudite mob, the people of Waiheke. And certainly they love their reading. The guys tend to like mystery and thriller books, but not rubbish. But every single genre and category goes out, and that is wonderful. It's just tremendous, the variety of reading material that we have to stock, because it's necessary. And at one stage, I remember we got rid of quite a lot of the teens' graphic books, and as punishment, we got somebody ordering about 30 of them because we'd sent them off to other sites. Oh, and dear. So it just shows you, you know, there is a demand. Even if it's two or three people, those people want to find them on the shelves. So we've got to keep it up. And, of course, we do swap the collection around naturally, because now so much more is floating. At one stage, I knew every book on the shelf and whether it was in or out. But now I can't possibly keep up, because of people bring books over, they stay here until they're called again, and I can't keep up with that. Mm-hmm. Which is great. It means that the books are always fresh, whereas once upon a time, a few years back, I remember our readers saying, when are you going to get some more new books? When are you going to get the latest on? And I could sense their frustration. So this idea that we have the floating collection for fiction and is so very, very good. Even though we have the request service, you know, and that naturally brings it freshens it up.
And have you got any activities coming up in the library?
Well, we've just sort of preparing now for the school holidays, because we've just finished one school holidays and we've got the prize winning things there for that. So now we're just sort of getting the library back in place, and that takes quite a while after school holidays, because it's so well used that we virtually have to go through and put every book right, make sure it's all back in its right place, and then we start on these other things. But Di's away on holiday at the moment, and when she comes back I'll expect her to be getting fully into the school holiday program, because that's a particular field that she specialises and enjoys in. And Rhiannon does a lot of work for that too.
It's great for the coming up for the Christmas holidays.
Oh, there is one thing I should mention. The family history research. One of our specialists, Shannon, came over from town a couple of weeks ago, and we were going to limit it to 8, but it sort of expanded because we had such demand. And now, because of that demand, we had so many people saying, well, you know, we want another one. So Fiona, our manager, has arranged for her to come over on a Sunday when the library will be quiet and when they can access the computers. And Shannon will be talking, but you do need to register for that. So ring up and put your name on the register for the special Sunday afternoon course 1 to 3 on the 31st of October.
Right, and that's for family history.
Family history, for people wanting to know, how do I go about researching my family and just following it up from there.
There's a lot of interest in that now, isn't there?
Oh, yes, there is. And especially with people travelling. I know when my brother went, he went to the Isle of Wight and found Kite Hill, where my mother's family came from. And, of course, he went to Ireland, where I had been, where my father's grandfather's in 1874 left, you know. Yes, so I've got a few more tales to follow up in my family tree overseas. And yes,
excellent. So that is Sunday the 31st of October for a special family history program at the library. What time again, Rosalie?
1 o'clock till 3 o'clock.
1 till 3. And is there a charge for that?
No, it'll be free.
Okay. That sounds great.
It will
Thank
be.
You very much for coming in.
A pleasure.
And we'll see you again, hopefully.
Yes, and keep up the wonderful weather at Waiheke.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rosalie. I've been talking to Rosalie from the library. And if you're short of a bit of reading material, don't hesitate to call in there. What time do you close today?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. And are you open tomorrow?
No.
No, you're not usually
not
open.
Not open on Monday either.
Right. Okay, so if you want a bit of reading material for the weekend, get in there before 4 o'clock this afternoon. They've
Indeed.
Got a great, great selection.
Island Life. Join us for your weekly catch-up with what people are doing and what people are thinking here on Waiheke. Issues, events, personalities and more. It's all here on Island Life on Waiheke Radio, Saturday mornings 10 to 12. Brought to you by Placemakers Waiheke. Know how, can do.
Now, have a wee listen to this.
Life's going nowhere.
Okay, what do you think of that? That is a group that will be touring New Zealand. They'll be starting down in Palmerston North beginning of December, and they'll be in Auckland at the Civic Theatre on the 7th of December at 7:30 p.m. And that group is called the Young at Heart Chorus. It was set up in started in 1982 over in the States, and they're people who were living in a nursing home. I think the eldest one of at that time was 100 years old. And the current performers range in age from 73 to 89. That's in the US, I presume. And they have decided to get out there and get into today's music. And one of our very own Waiheke talents is about to join that chorus. Please welcome Eileen Evans. Welcome, Eileen.
Hello. Thank you, Jan.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes, it is. Never done anything quite like it before.
So how did you get involved with the Young at Hearts?
Well, a friend of mine rang me up, who is a musical director that I've done quite a lot of shows for in the past in Auckland, and he said they were doing it. The musical director from America, Bob Cilon, was coming over to Howick, and would I like to audition to be in this? So I thought, well, why not? I just stepped down from the board, and it was an opportunity. So I went out to Howick on the bus. And, it's called An Afternoon with Bob. And he had about 25 people there, and he got us singing some of the songs. So it wasn't really an audition. It was sort of singing songs, and all of a sudden he said, "Now, who would like to get up and sing me a song?" And so nobody got up, so I thought I better get up. And I sang Summertime from Porgy and Bess. It was an American song. And he liked jazz, and he liked the feeling, evidently. But he didn't let on too much, and he auditioned a few more people. I got there, he was singing, and then we sang a few more songs. And he said, "Right, thank you so much for coming." And that was the end of that. And then the next day, Stuart McPherson, who's the entrepreneur, rang me up, and he said that Bob would like me to go on tour with him. That was quite exciting.
Absolutely. How many people in New Zealand are involved in the chorus?
Just from Auckland, four to five.
Okay. And is this to supplement those that are coming from the States?
Yes. There's 20 coming. 20 performers, and I think about 47 altogether with their crew and their band. And to me, the band is very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. It's a sort of it's rock and jazz. And something, it's great. I mean, we'll perhaps play a bit more of that and see what everybody thinks. But I didn't know any of the songs.
Are you singing?
Right. I've got a little list here because I should know them now. I've had two rehearsals. We're singing the Rolling Stones songs. We're singing Jefferson Airplane. Let me see, Bob Dylan, U2, and Talking Heads. And songs like You Can't Always Get What You Want, Come As You Are, Schizophrenia, Dancing in the Dark, but not the one we know. I think that's a Bruce Springsteen one. Uh-huh. This seems to me to be the 60s, mostly the 60s.
Is there any New Zealand music?
Yes, there is a New Zealand Māori song, which I don't know. A Tapoe, I think it is. And also, he asked me to sing one for him, and I sang Pokhara Kariana. He liked that. So a little bit of that's going in. And 10 Guitars is going in. And also, I See Red, which I think is Split Ends, Tim Finn song. I didn't know that, would you believe? And so we're having to really rehearse. They do have their soloists from America who've toured Europe with us. I don't know if these soloists have actually toured, they're coming, but I think the band's pretty much the same. And so 47 people coming over just 2 days, or I think 2 or 3 days before we begin at the Civic. So we're not going to have much time to rehearse with them.
No, I see that the tour starts in Auckland and ends up in Palmerston North, but you go down to Christchurch, Wellington, Hamilton. It's quite a schedule.
It is.
Beyond the road.
Actually, it's quite a schedule. It's not easy. I think you've got to be well to do this.
Absolutely.
I hope everybody's well. I believe in the film, the documentary film they made was quite moving. A lot of people on Waiheke know this film.
I think it's screened here at the Artworks Cinema.
Yes, anyway, I didn't see it, but I have seen it since, of course, and the CD. And people, it's amazing how many people like it.
Well, I think it's an inspiration, isn't it, to see people who are, you know, who one would think would be sitting in a rocking chair and, you know, dribbling and whatever.
That's not me, darling.
And it's not, of course it's not you. And this is it. It shows that, hey, you get to your 70s, 80s, 90s, or even 100, and there's life in old age. You know, you can get out there and there's new challenges and new things to do.
Well, it was interesting because I have written 3 books about health and age, and the last one was Get Smarter, Not Older. And I did mention music in that. I mean, I mentioned food, of course, diet, lifestyle, but I did mention music as being a really important factor in health for the mental states and stress levels. And, you know, it is so true that it can lift you. I was tired this morning and I'm putting on the CD and trying to learn the words from that. And it just, I felt better immediately, you know, getting breakfast.
Well, of course, you've been involved in the music scene for a long, long time, haven't you?
I've done a lot of shows.
And you've taught? You've taught piano, have you?
I have taught piano for a long time, too. And done a lot of things with my life, really.
So how did you get involved in the show business world?
From a very early age, Jan, when I got absolutely hooked on the musicals. Things like the oldies, you know, like Desert Song and Vagabond King and shows like that. I was about 13. We went from school to see something in the Midlands. I come from the Midlands, and we went to see this show, and I thought, that's what I want to do. I really want to do that. And I was learning singing. And, I thought, I don't, you know, my singing teacher, because I had a very, very powerful voice then, very powerful, wanted opera. And I thought, ooh, do I like opera? But then I got to sort of like certain aspects of it and sang it. And then I thought, no, I want to do lighter shows. And that's when I started doing leads in pantomime, and not in England so much, because we came over here when I was about 15 and a half, 16, and noticed there was no theatre over here. No professional theatre at all. And so I joined the ex-services operatic society. Excuse me, it's all this singing. And I think it was the Desert Song. I had a small part in that. And then the Belle of New York. This is, I don't suppose anybody knows these shows now, but I worked my way up gradually. And then I had a small soubrette part at His Majesty's Theatre. These were all at the main theatre in the city, lovely theatre. And then I got, I was a mezzo, so I wanted to do the soprano leads, and I wasn't quite, I looked all right for the lead, but not so much with my voice, which was always a middle voice going low, you know, so mezzo really. So then I got parts like Carmen, and Naughty Marietta. I got a slave girl. I used to do the slave girls quite good for some reason. Anything that was very dramatic, you know. Yes. And I did all that, and then I went into straight theatre for years, and it was amateur but a bit professional. I sang out and tried to earn some money with my voice. And I always liked jazz, but I wasn't trained as a jazz singer, and it's never easy, as you know, as you're a singer, to sing jazz when you haven't been trained for it, when you've been trained for something else. And then I had throat problems, quite big throat problems over the years. I won't go into that. Practically ruined my voice and the larynx, and something got caught in my throat, and I went on teaching. I taught music for years, and I stopped singing. I had to. And then I started again with an auto harp and guitar, and I did folk songs. So I went into folk songs, bit of jazz. And from then onwards, I've directed shows here, of course, on Waiheke. I seem to be going on forever, is that right?
No, not at all. No, I remember doing a show with you. I can't remember what it was called now.
No, you didn't do Blythe Spirit, did you?
No, I didn't. It was after that. It was a variety show.
Ah, yes. Yes, I wrote those pretty much myself.
Yes, I've still got a video of it, actually, tucked
yes.
away somewhere.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So for this particular challenge you're taking on now, what are you doing in the way of practice and vocal exercises and things?
Right, well, I'm doing my own exercises, but the pianist, she's very, very good at Howick. She does a few with us to start with, and then we just listen to the CD. I've never, ever learnt anything from a CD, ever. I always do it from sheet music. Mm. And so this is a challenge for me. But I am not singing any of the solos, and I'm quite relieved about that, tell you the truth. Mm. I don't think I could do this whole thing in the time. And they've got some, it sounds to me like black singers singing a couple of those numbers, and they sing them really well. I mean, I don't know what age they are. And who cares? Mm. But they sing them well. And there are men singers that don't have any particular star, but they manage to get the words. I think Bob Sillon, who invented all this, he's absolutely meticulous about words so people can hear it. Mm. And I agree. I think we have to get the words over, you know, and the rhythm, and come in at the right time.
Absolutely. That can be very tricky.
It can, actually. Mm. And the others didn't know it very much either.
Mm.
And they've had a bit of experience, the others from Auckland.
Right. But it's all new music, isn't it, to the people involved. It's
not
like you're getting up there singing all the good old songs from the war years and old shows and things. It's the 80s, 90s.
That's right.
21st century stuff that you're doing, which is a real challenge, isn't it?
It is. And he brought a song in called Changes by somebody called Phil Ox, O-C-H-S.
Phil Ox.
Have you heard of him?
Mm.
It's a beautiful song, and I really gelled with that song. It's a little bit sad. Mm. Changes in life.
Mm.
And we've got a section on pain. I mean, it is fitting, I suppose, for seniors. Not terribly fitting for me because, you know, like it's a song, I want to be sedated. Put me on an airplane, put me in a wheelchair, put me on the plane. Da 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 da. Oh, God.
It doesn't sound like an Eileen song.
No, it's not an Eileen song. And the ritual, where is the ritual? The song's called Purple Haze, which honestly, I really feel that these composers of the time were in a purple haze when they wrote them. They're all on drugs.
Mm.
And and some of them are very good, you know.
Mm.
But the thing to me is this band. I think they're really good.
And are they older people as well?
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think they are. Now, that's a very interesting question. I hadn't actually thought of that. But in the film, did we see the band? I don't remember that I saw the band in the film, but it sounds as though they're older people.
So when are you going to get to meet the group? When will you first meet them?
I think it's December. We start on the 6th at the Civic, and I think it's the 3rd or the 4th, would you believe, that we get to meet them.
Gosh.
So we better be right, hadn't we? They've toured Europe and toured some of America.
Right.
I mean, I really admire them. I think they're fantastic.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's so exciting, I think.
You know, it's different for me.
I think I've got something to look forward to when I get older. You know, we don't just have to curl up our toes when we retire and say, well, this is it.
Well, I had never thought about that. So when this came, I didn't really know what it was about, you know. Right. I thought, oh, he's auditioning for a show, right? Then I discovered what it was.
I'm talking to Eileen Evans about the Young at Heart Chorus, which started in the States back in 1982. And it is people range in age from 70 up to, well, they've had a 100-year-old in there. And it's absolutely brilliant. They're coming out here to do a tour around New Zealand, and there are some New Zealanders who are joining that group, including Eileen, our very own Eileen Evans. Now, they'll be performing at the Auckland Civic Theatre on the 6th of December at 6 p.m. If you're interested in booking for that, then go online to www.ticketek.co.nz. I'm looking at the wrong. That's for Palmerston North. For Auckland, it's The Edge, www.buytickets.co.nz. And that show should be an absolute unmissable one.
Yes. I'm seeing the DVD, I'm just amazed at how people like it.
Well, I think that we said it's an inspiration for all of us, and makes us think. Hey, we can do things once we get a bit older. That and we've got the time, I guess.
Yes, and a lot of these people were sick, when he took them on.
Right.
And in the film, they were sick. I mean, really sick.
Mm.
And one guy, I remember, did it from a wheelchair, which was very moving. Mm. Had such a beautiful voice, and really with a lot of feeling. One thing about seniors, we have lived a little while, and we have got experience of life.
Absolutely.
And it's, this song Changes, it's very indicative, very, very good for, well, not good for me, but I'm singing one of the verses, which is very sad, and it's just makes me think of my husband.
Mm.
So I can't get too upset about that.
Mm.
But yes, feeling does go into it, that's
yes,
for sure.
Yes, it does. Okay, Alan, well, thank you for coming in, and we wish you all the best with your new endeavours.
You've been listening to the interviews from last Saturday's Island Life, our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. Island Life is brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12. And the interviews are replayed on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. They're also available as a download from our website, www.waihekiradio.org.nz. Island Life is brought to you by Island, the shop with Waiheke's most eclectic collection of local art, craft, giftware, clothing and bric-a-brac. Island, Ocean View Road, Onirola.